This is Palm Sunday, and we need to think about the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. And we're going to work the service a little bit different tonight. And that is, we're going to have the song service in conjunction with the message. I'm going to preach on talk about a few points, and then we're going to sing songs that go along with those points. But this one is just for Palm Sunday. Let's stand as we sing Hosanna.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name.
To preach the word, and that's, I guess, part of the mission field, isn't it? So he really convicted my heart of that. Anyway, I came today and told Bill if he wants any help with Sunday school, I'd be more than happy to help him.
So
anyway, it was a fun trip. We got back about 5 o'clock in the morning, and weather really wasn't all that bad. It looked worse than it was. So anyway, it was good.
It was a little bit slick in spots the next day. Yet even.
I think actually it was probably worse the next day.
Really? It was terribly windy. I know that.
Yes, it was horrifically windy. But I was able to do the speed limit all the way. And that was, it wasn't that bad, really.
That's good. That's good. Anybody else with a testimony?
Rex.
Well, I just, it's just a quick little story. I made a quick trip out to Colorado this last week. And on the way back, we got pulled over by a cop. We were going a little fast, you know. But we were doing 82, 83, and a 75, somewhere in that range. And it was kind of nice. The cop was very friendly. And he said he pulled us over because we blinded him with our high beam. But so he thought he'd hit us with the radar. Anyway, he said about 5 miles up, there's 5 rollovers because the road is very icy. And if he didn't tell us that, we would have just kept around and going, you know, without even thinking, and we probably would have been 6-1, you know. So we slowed down because I was driving, but we slowed down anyway.
Praise the Lord for ministers of the law, right? You know, it happened to me one time. I was driving home after work. It was about 12:30 at night, and one of my headlights went out, and it was just soon after that my other headlight went out. So all I had was high beam. No low beam at all. So I ended up going home on high beam, and wouldn't you know, a police officer was coming my way, and he pulled me over too. I didn't tell him I didn't have any low beams. He just said, next time dim your lights when you go by a car. Yes, sir.
I just want to thank everyone for your support and your generosity and your love and your donation that I have. I was not expecting last week's shindig or whatever you want to call it. And I just wanted to pass the note. I greatly appreciate it and everyone that was involved in that. And I'm very surprised. And everyone that took their time to drive 4.5 hours down to see me and pray for me and to just enjoy that special time for me. I just want everybody to know that I appreciate that. And I know some couldn't make it, but wish they could have been there, and I appreciate knowing that if you could have, you would have. So, thank you.
I just want you guys to understand, we are a small church, and we went to the section, Speed the Light Rally, and we had given the most out of both sections, with section 4 and 5, and just congratulate the youth group. We, you know, churches that grow, you know where their hearts are, and our youth group's heart is definitely in missions. And we've worked very hard. A lot of money we make goes to missions, and we've given a lot of money. And I think we did a good job by giving the most, even for our small little church.
They did an excellent job. Yeah, when you look at it, the only churches that beat them, you know, are the mega churches, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine. So they really did great. Okay, Nora.
I checked out the annual business minutes from last year, and you know it takes hours and hours and hours. Even though I condensed it down to one page, you'd be happy to know.
You did the make it fit thing.
Yeah.
So that's the real story.
Can't read it, but it's not on one page.
And
Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's hard to remember back a year ago what happened.
I'm grateful you got that. Anybody else? Don't want to leave anybody out. Well, we're just going to ask these guys to stay right up here, and Gail at the piano. And would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9? And what we're going to do is just, I'm going to talk about some points, and then we're going to sing about what we talk about. All right? Last week, we looked at what Christians were. We saw those things that we were and what the Lord delivered us from. And tonight, we're going to look at what Christians shall be, a look into the future. And then, in light of what Christians were and shall be, what should we do today? A look at the present. So it's past and future and present. First of all, what Christians shall be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." If you want a blessing, you just look at that verse for a while and meditate on that verse. Just think about that verse for a while. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered even into the heart of man, the imagination. You cannot imagine the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The things that God has prepared for you in your wildest dreams, in your wildest imaginations, you could not even comprehend those things. That's what he has prepared for you. That's what's waiting for you. That is your inheritance. I don't think anybody would ever want to miss out on it. Well, along with what Christians shall be, first of all, they shall be changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 52, Scripture says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that anyway? It's not the blinking of an eye. It's faster than that. It's the twinkling of an eye. That fast, this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. Just that fast, we will be changed. And in that process of being changed, we also be caught up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now there are two important Greek words in that verse, as far as I see it. The first is translated caught up. Caught up. It refers to a specific moment in the future when believers will be caught up by Jesus Christ as he descends from heaven. You got the picture, Jesus coming down, and we are being caught up. We are raised, we are ascended at the same time, and we'll meet somewhere in the clouds. As Jesus comes down, we go up. And the other important word there is translated meet. Meet. To meet the Lord in the air. It means to come into the presence of. To meet. This occurs after the dead have been raised. But think about it. We'll be caught up together in the clouds, and we will meet. We will be in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'll be in his presence. I mean, this will top being in the presence of any important person you've ever been in. You'll be in the presence of your Savior, the one who died for you, the King of all kings, the Almighty God, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting God. And then the Scripture continues, and it says that we will be like Christ in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will take on his likeness. We will take on his character. We'll be taken further even in his image. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then they shall appear with Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So here's the picture. We're caught up. Christ comes down. We meet the Lord in the air. We become like him. And then we appear with him in glory. Christ is coming back for his bride. And when he appears in the clouds for us, we shall appear with him back as he goes back to glory. We go with him. It's not just a meeting in the air that takes some place, but this is the beginning of forever as we're taken back into the glory of God's presence. We shall appear with him in heaven in glory. Let's turn in our songbooks to page 535 and sing In the Twinkling of an Eye. Christians be. They shall be changed. They shall be caught up. They shall be like Christ. They shall appear with Christ. And they shall be judges. Next, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 through 3 says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? I don't understand all of that. It's simply there. Scripture says that we will be judges. We are going to judge even the angels. And along with that, we will be priests. Tells us in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Which means that we will minister to God, we will serve Christ, We will do that for all of eternity. When we reach our heavenly home, there are ways that we will minister as priests unto God. Every single one of us will have that privilege of being a priest of God and of Christ. And then we shall be with Christ forever. It's not a temporary home or temporary dwelling place. It's a home. It's forever. It's everlasting. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 18, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort to us to know that there is coming a time when all death and all sorrow and all tears will be forever gone. No more burdens. Everything will be peace forever on that happy golden shore. And the comfort of that, the message of that, should bring us comfort and hope. What a day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. Jesus, I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day.
Just pause right here and praise him. Lord, we do want to praise you.
What a day that will be,
Lord, that you have made heaven possible.
What a day that will be.
Lord, you are the one that made it possible.
When we look on your face,
Lord, because you died for us.
When we see you,
Lord,
when we see
you,
you died for us, God. When we see your face,
you are the one that we want to see. You are the one that we want to see.
What a day that will be when we see our Savior.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the time. Lord, you will wipe every tear.
Never depart from us. Never to leave that way.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise
Lord.
Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that chorus is true. Sometime in eternity, he's going to be able to take each of us by the hand, lead us to the promised land, deliver us at mansion's door. What a day, glorious day that will be. What Christians shall be, they shall be changed, they shall be caught up, they shall be like Christ, they shall appear with Christ, they shall be judges, they shall be priests, they shall be with Christ forever. Now, in light of all that Christ has done for us and what we shall be because of what he will do for us, what should we be doing? What should Christians do? Well, first of all, we are to believe on God's Son. Believing, of course, is necessary for salvation, but the Christian needs to continue and to believe in the works of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "And this is commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and then love one another as he gave us commandment." So we are to believe. We are to believe on his name. Whoever believes is born of God. Whoever believes shall receive everlasting life. Whoever believes shall receive the remission of sins, the cancellation of sins. Not just the forgiveness, but the removal, the remission of sins. Whoever believes will no longer abide in darkness, but is able to walk in the light as he is in the light. Whoever believes shall not be ashamed. Christ is many things to us as believers. He's our Passover. This week we think about the time of the Passover, the time that Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, was crucified for our sins. He's the Passover in that he was the one that was sacrificed for us. And when the blood is applied to the door of our lives, the death angel passes over us, and we've been passed from death to life. To the believer, he is the Savior. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our life. He is our hope. He is simply our Lord. Some people say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. Ever heard anybody say that? Well, let's see if that's true. Mr. Johnson is feeling ill, and so he went to the medicine cabinet and made, by mistake, took the contents of a bottle of poison. An hour afterward, he was in great agony. He thought he was taking medicine, but in reality, he took poison. But the thought that he was taking medicine, and he was sincere about it, did that sincerity of belief save his life? Surely not. The Smith family, out for a pleasure ride one Sunday afternoon, sincerely believed that the railroad tracks were clear. But several members of the family were hurled into eternity when the unseen train hit the car. Sincerity. Sincerity is a noble virtue. We should all be sincere. We should all work to have sincerity. But when it comes to the matter of salvation for your soul, sincerity can send people to hell. It does matter what you believe. You have to believe in and you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We, after knowing all of what Christ has done and what we shall be, we should believe. We should also, number two, walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We have been saved. We have a glorious future. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. It should change the way we live. It should change the way we walk. We are going to someday be totally like him. We should try to strive to be like him now. Number three, we should live unto righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Said an English mother to her son, Charles, your father and I have trained you in righteousness. We have taught you the word of God. We have lived a godly life before you. Now listen to this. How would you like to say this to your children, or how would you like to be a child and have your parents say this to you? If you do not live a godly life, we shall stand before God in the day of judgment and bear witness against you. That son became one of the world's greatest preachers, Charles Spurgeon. Page number 285. I believe Jesus saves.
I am coming to Jesus for rest. Rest such as the purified know. My soul is athirst to be blessed, to be washed and made whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves.
Should we then do? We should believe. We should walk in newness of life. We should live unto righteousness. And number four, we should love one another. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11 says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, this is his commandment, that you should believe and that you should love one another. He gave us commandment to do so. This is my commandment that you love.
This is my commandment that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy. Joy.
might want to remain standing because I have just one more point and then another song. We should show forth his praise. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light."
We're the people of God, called by his name, out from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.
Verse 1.
Let us sing one confession, with a heart so turned to one truth alone. He has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us his own, his very own. People of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are his servants, perjurous scars, bought by the blood of hearts hold to one truth alone. He has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us his own, his very own. For the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame, one holy race, everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.
What should we do? We should believe. We should walk in newness of life. We should live unto righteousness. We should love one another. We should show forth his praise. Next, we should contend for the faith. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Not just contend for the faith, but earnestly contend for the faith. And the final thing that we should do is to bring forth fruit. We should bring forth fruit. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We were saved to do works. We're saved to be fruitful. Jesus has ordained us that we are to bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. The Bible talks much about fruit. It talks about good fruit. It talks about much fruit. We are to bear much fruit. That's the place where he wants to get us to be. But then he takes us even beyond that, once we bear much fruit, to bear more fruit. And then peaceable fruit. And all fruit is precious. precious fruit. We often think about fruit, the fruit of righteousness. We think about the fruit of soul winning. A song we don't sing very often, although I hear it at home from one of our children whenever they play the piano. Page 275. And that's okay because I like this song. Bringing in the sheaves. Let's all stand. This is our final song this evening.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy leaves, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the moss has stained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Amen.
In the harvest field, the ripen, there's a word for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child of God. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
God, we thank you that you first loved us, and that you are the one that did amazing things for us in our lives. God, we just do everything that we do in a love relationship with you. We thank you for that. We just ask, Lord, that you would just help us to make it home safely tonight. Bless our fellowship as we stand around and talk afterwards. May we come back safely the rest of the services this week. In Jesus' name.